Thank you for listening to this message from Journey Life Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, for you are the resurrection and the life. And because you live, we can face tomorrow. And we love you today. We thank you. Bless this word as it goes forth. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God is good all the time. Amen. I promise, as best as a preacher can, to not keep you long. I know you have probably a busy day, but we'll try to have you out by noon. But God is good. Of course, you never can tell if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of things. I ain't stopping him. You can walk out on him, but I ain't stopping him. Amen. Glory to God. So today I want to preach on the title, I Am the Resurrection. He is the great I Am. But he says, I am the resurrection. And like I was saying Friday, this is the 44th Easter message I've preached at Journey Life Center. I started when I was 10. Just calm down. What? So I got to praying and thinking about it, and I thought, you know, Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he raised people from the dead. Huh? So I went back to John chapter 11 when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And there's five things real quick I want to point out from this that I think is a blessing for how we need to live today. And we need to know these things because, church, we are living in perilous times. Even if you don't watch the news, you get the feeling something's going on in the world behind the scenes. Like we've never seen in the history of the world. Don't get so caught up in your little world and your life that you don't understand that there are powers behind the scenes that are going on right now. And who knows what this world will be like even a year from today. If I would have told you a few months ago that this, that, and the other would be happening now, you'd say I was crazy. But here it is. You don't have to be a theologian to know we are living in the last days. How many still believe in the rapture? How many still believe he's coming back? My God, well, we need to live like it. We need to live like it. He said he's coming back, and that's more true now than it was yesterday. And we need to be ready. We need to start living this thing that we call Christianity. Come on. I'm going to preach it whether you amen me or not, but it helps to amen me. Amen. It's like saying, sick them to a dog. I just get on that bone. Amen. So let's look at John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And by the way, Lazarus is considered their brother. It was that Mary who anointed the oil with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Remember that? Whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Oh. That the Son of God may be glorified through it. Yeah, he knew something they didn't know. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he rushed right over Oh, whoa. He stayed two more days in the place where he was. And after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Point number one, he doesn't always come when you call. I know you think you have a hotline. You have one of those red phones to heaven. Call him up, tell him what you want. They won't let me sing, but now they can't stop me. Amen. Well, I guess they can. Doesn't always come when you call, because you don't see the big picture and you don't always know what he's up to and how he's putting things together and when he's going to show up and how he's going to show up and who else is in the picture and how this whole thing all fits together. So sometimes he doesn't come when you think he should come. And for some people, that has caused them to become bitter and disappointed. I ain't going back to church no more. I prayed for 30 seconds and he didn't show up. It's called faith. In the good and in the bad, in the hard and in the easy, in the times we understand and the times we don't understand, we have made a commitment to trust him. You say, you're talking about blind faith? Well, if you want to call it that, call it that. I just call it faith. Faith. He doesn't always come when I call, but I know my life is in his hands. Come on and praise him, amen. Woo, hallelujah. The disciples said to him, verse 8, Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Again, Jesus is being mystical here. What in the world are you talking about? But it leads us to our second point. Jesus goes where others don't. He may not come when you call, but one thing I know, he can go where others can't. It may not happen the way I want it to happen, but he can do things doctors can't do. He may not come when I want him to, but he has answers to problems that no psychologist, even a clergyman, no one else knows the answers to. But I know a man who can, amen. Glory to God. He may not come when I call him, but I know that my situation is in his hand and everything's going to be all right. Somebody help me preach. He goes where others don't go. Wow. Verse 11. Man, I'm going to be done in 10 minutes at this rate. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. I thought they had alarm clocks for that. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He wasn't there, but he knew it. You may not feel it, but he knows it. It may not seem like your prayer is bouncing off, but he hears. He knows more than you think he knows. Oh, Jesus. Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Oh, what? That you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, this man full of faith, let us also go that we may die with him. Okay, Thomas, let's go. Let's all just die with him. Have you ever met somebody who really didn't understand the situation? Really didn't have a whole lot of faith. But can you hand it to him? He's willing to go, and he's willing to die. So we kind of make fun of him, but how many of us would go knowing the outcome? Oh, Jesus. Because whatever you expect about your answer in prayer, you might have to go through some things before your prayer is answered the way you need it to be answered. Can I get an amen? Yeah. He goes where others don't go. But number three, Jesus has a way of, I call it, redefining trouble. Verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. In other words, they would sit around and cry. They actually had people, you could do this for a living, by the way. You could be a professional mourner. And they would hire mourners who would come to the funerals and just, because the more people you had crying, the more, you know, more important. Isn't that weird? Now, Martha, I keep seeing these rabbits, I'm sorry. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Oh, that's faith in the midst of darkness. That's faith in the midst of not knowing what in the world's going on. That's faith when it seems like you've already lost the battle, but you're still trusting him. Well, we don't see a lot of that today. So Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, "You don't have to wait for the last day. Because it's not about what he's going to do, it's about who he is." I am. Say, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He didn't say, "Do you understand this?" He said, "Do you believe this?" Wow. She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Can I get an amen? So he redefines trouble. We tend to call things as we see things, but Jesus calls things completely different. And sometimes what we call trouble, he calls opportunity. What we call loss, he calls gain like you've never seen gain before. What we call, "I'll never get through this," he calls, "You haven't seen anything yet." He redefines what's going on in our life. He sees things we don't see. He can see beyond. Understand, he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's always, he existed as God when there was no time. That means God can step out of time and see the whole thing laid out. You're not getting this. I've used this illustration before. It's like you're driving a train going down the track, and all you can see is that little bit of track ahead of you, and there's a curve, but you don't know what's beyond the curve. But another person is up on a hill somewhere, and he can see the entire route of that train. He knows everything that's ahead, everything that's behind, everything you're going to face, every tree, every house, every person you're going to pass. He already sees it before it happens. Listen, you can trust this God because he sees your future. He's never caught by surprise. He never gets up in the morning and says, man, I didn't see that coming. We say that all the time, but with God, all things are possible. And he knows the future. He doesn't just know the future. He's seen the future. Listen, this whole thing about time, there was a time, there was no time. Yeah. Okay. So next Sunday, can I put a plug in? Next Sunday, I'm going to preach a message. Why there absolutely has to be a God. There's too many people today walking around, I don't believe in God. What a stupid thing. He said, well, you can't say that. Well, the Bible says it. The fool has said in his heart. Listen, even I know you believe in God, but you're confronted with this all the time, every day. There's always somebody who says, I don't believe there's a God. I am going to lay this out point by point so you can absolutely discuss this with certainty that there really not only is a God, there has to be a God. I want to preach it right now. If you have a half hour, we could just pause right here. I don't know if I can do that in a half hour, but we'll try. If not, we'll go two Sundays. Amen. But let everyone know, you need to come back next week and get a hold of that. Wow. Point number four. Got to understand something. That power of that resurrection is something we can walk in now. He didn't just raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, Lazarus now is alive and walking around. There's power in the resurrection, and he gives us that. We can walk in that same power in our lives and in others' lives. Verse 33, therefore when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? Come and see. Come and see. Jesus wept. Wow. I think that's the only verse in the Bible I have memorized. Just can't ever remember where it is, but I know where it is now. Jesus wept. Amen. How many can memorize that? Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Aww. And some of them said, could not this man? You know, there's always one. Why, couldn't he have helped? Where was he when I needed him? Where was he when he was sick? Now he comes crying. He opened the eyes of the blind. Couldn't this man have kept him from dying? Then again, Jesus groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. You know, there sometimes we do have responsibility in all this. You, take away the stone. Mary, the sister of who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead there 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now she's like, what in the world? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, not will hear me. Have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Someone said, why did he say Lazarus? Because if he had just said, come forth, everybody would have walked out. No, just Lazarus. Can you imagine what was happening down in the underworld? And Lazarus is down there, and he's walking around. Yeah. So this is what it's like to be dead, huh? And he's seeing Moses and all the patriarchs and Abraham, and he's walking around. And all of a sudden, in the middle, I don't know, whatever they were doing, sitting around, having lunch, I don't know. All of a sudden, something was just shouted through Hades. Lazarus! Yes. Come forth. And immediately his soul brought back into his body, which by now had begun to deteriorate. But you see, he didn't just raise him from the dead. He reversed the process of deterioration. How many believe he looked good when he came out? Woo! Praise the Lord! Glory! It's the power of the Word. Come out! Come out! I'm saying it to you today. It's time to come out of some situations. It's time to see some change in your life. It's time to understand he may not come when you want him to, but he knows your situation, and you're going to be okay. He's calling you out. He's calling you out. But listen, we have responsibility to remove I won't read it all, but going down to, let's say, verse 44 again. And when he had died, he came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Whew. See, he came out. They would take linen and literally wrap the entire body in linen. So when he came out, he didn't come, ta-da. He came out like this. He said, well, what did he say? Well, no one could hear because he's, whoa. Still had the grave clothes on. Wow. That reminds me, when Jesus died, they wrapped him in that cloth. Do you know that they have the cloth? Have y'all studied this? They have the cloth. They say, well, that's not Jesus. That's just some man that was. Yeah, you know what? They can look at it now. They've blown this thing up, and they look at it, and they can count all the stripes on his back. On the linen. They could see points in his head where they put the crown of thorns. They could see a wound in his side, hands, which is where he would have, not here. If they nailed him here, it would have ripped. So they nail him here and in the feet. Everything the Scripture says can be found right there. And they found this thing, I don't know, 150 years ago, and they said, well, somebody painted that stuff on there. So, no, they looked at it. There's no paint on it. They said, well, somehow it burned on it. No, it didn't burn on it. The material's not burnt. And they studied it now with all the modern stuff that they have, and they said, here's what had to happen. There had to be a flash of energy that is so high that we can't duplicate it today. And it had to happen, I mean, an enormous amount of energy that we can't reproduce. And it had to happen in like 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. That was the only way that image could have been placed on that linen. There is absolutely no doubt that that was the linen, piece of linen that Jesus was wrapped in. But more importantly, there's only one way that linen could have been made to do like that. There had to be some kind of power coming out of that body that would burn it, leave an imprint on it. We actually have evidence of Jesus' resurrection on that cloth, and nobody can deny it. Can you give him praise? Ah! Oh, I can go on and on with this. It's crazy. But this is extra. It's not in my notes. If I go any further, I'll have to bring the ushers back. It'll cost you more. So they said, loose him and let him go. Listen, when somebody gets saved, they're still in some. Don't judge them. Loose them. Well, he doesn't act saved. Well, you didn't either. I've been around long enough. I remember when some of you got saved, and we were patient. Just because you're saved, you're free from the power of sin. I get it, but sometimes it takes a little bit of time. So they began to take it off. Come on, and first of all, and they opened his eyes, and he's gone, "Ooh, I can see." And his eyes were okay. And he went a little further, and he said, "That air smells fresh." And whoa, what no? And a little bit further. Well, he didn't say it like that. He said, "Woof, woof, woof." And they went a little farther, and now his mouth is free. You see, when Jesus saves us, he opens our eyes. He helps us to breathe new life. And then he gives us a new voice so we can say, "Hallelujah, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus." And then he releases our arms so we Pentecostals can. Come on, church, hallelujah. And then he keeps unwinding, amen, until finally his legs are free. Come on, church, somebody dance with me. Hallelujah. Come on and praise him. Remove the grave clothes and set him free. Stand to your feet. After all that, I got to quit.